Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of the Guitar Podcast. I think this is episode number 50. Yeah, this is episode number 48. Episode 48. Things are going to be a little bit different today. I'm sacrificing some audio quality to be sure and get a podcast out as soon as possible, because it has been quite a while since I've published one. So this will be a little bit out of the ordinary in the intro and outro segments and audio quality and so on. I'm in what you may call my mobile studio, which is my 2000 Grand Am Jalopy GT. And so you're going to hear some road noise and some air conditioning, because it's really, really hot today. And anyway, like I said, I think it's episode 50. What I talk about here is about my opinion on guitars and amps and pedals and musicians and music and all that good stuff. Be sure and chime in on the show notes and email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Like the Guitar Podcast on Facebook. We're going to have videos posted there, and check us out on YouTube and all that good stuff. But what I want to talk about today is, I don't know if you remember, a year or so ago I mentioned that I was nosing around in my father-in-law's loft of his barn, or helping them move some stuff around and clean some stuff out, and I found an old chassis to what looked like an amp, and it had old tubes sticking out of the top of it and rusty transformers and everything. And I was like, what is that? That looks pretty cool. So I went and talked to him, and he said, I think that's organ, the amp we pulled out of my mom's organ. And I thought, oh, well, that's cool. Well, how long has it been there? It was like at least a decade. It'd been sitting up there in the loft rusting, being hot and cold and hot and cold and hot and cold, and all the moisture and all that humidity. So I asked him if he was doing anything with it, what he wanted to do with it, and he was like, you want it, you can have it, you know. So I took it home and looked at it and took photos of it, tried to clean it up the best I could. There was a mud dauber nest in it. I cleaned that out of there. And it ran 6V6 power tubes, two 6V6 power tubes, a 5Y7, a 5Y3 rectifier tube, and then several other little tubes for tone stacks and maybe one that's supposed to send signal to a Leslie or something. I don't know what all it was. Anyway, I looked at it, and I had just read the book Guitar Amplifiers, and thought, you know, I could build an amp from this. You know, it has chassis, it has transformers and stuff, but I had no idea what to do with, you know, to figure out how the, you know, what kind of power the transformers were rated at, and they were rusty, would they be any good and everything. So I was a little concerned about jumping into it, but I figured that since it was two 6V6s, whether it was push pull or AB circuitry, it didn't matter. More than likely it'd be less than 20 watts. I'd say maybe 30 watts max, and pushing everything to the edge. But anyway, I didn't know enough about it. So I pulled the tubes out of it and cleaned the chassis up some more and put it in a box where we were moving more than a year ago, about a year and a half ago. And then I started teaching at Brownsburg Guitar. I was introduced to a guy named Bobby Getchell, who is a young man here in Brownsburg. And he's like an electronics genius. I mean, he just knows this stuff. I'm sure he's read books and everything, and done a lot of studying. But I mean, he will just draw up a schematic from his brain, you know, from his memory or whatever. Just, you know, or be creative. So I'm pretty amazed when I'm talking to him. Anyway, he would repair amps for the local guy, and he builds amps. He builds amps from odd amps that aren't necessarily guitar amps, and makes them, either modifies their current circuitry to better suit a guitar tone, or he guts it and uses the existing parts like a transformer and the tubes and sockets and stuff like that, and wires it up as, you know, one of his circuits, you know, that better suits the guitar tone. And anyway, I'm sitting here going, you know, I'd really like to have that amp up and running. And my first amp should probably be something like a Champ. You know, something like a really super simple circuit. And of course, then I'm sitting there thinking about how I got a buy-your-own clone pedal. And it was the tremolo. And it's one of the simpler ones that they do. And I've had trouble with it. And I've just kind of abandoned it for the last 2 years. Because I got in there and I wired it up. Everything was cool. It works fine when it's not when the circuitry is not in the box. Once I put it all in the box and shut it up and everything, and then plug it in, it shorts out and it just becomes kind of a clean boost. And it, you know, the tremolo starts out strong and then it fades away. So I figured if I couldn't do that simple of a circuit, maybe I should hold off until I get that right before I do a Champ circuit, a Fender Champ circuit. And then I thought, you know, because the amp that I pulled out of my father-in-law's barn really looked like it lended itself to something more like a Fender Tweed Deluxe, like a 5E3 or something like that. And that's like maybe two or three steps beyond the Champ circuit. So I thought, you know, I'm probably not ready for it. But I have this thing, and it's really cool, and it's, you know. So I did research on this amp, and it came out of a Thomas organ, and probably mid-late 60s, maybe early 70s. I'm guessing more along the lines of the 60s. And I did research online about converting an organ amp into a guitar amp, and I saw one amp that really, really screamed. It sounded awesome. And then I saw other people saying, you know, it's, you get mixed results, it's usually not very good, all these sorts of things. So that kind of pushed me towards just putting it in a box and maybe harvesting some of the vintage components for something else in the future. And so it just sat there. Then I got in touch with Bobby and just sent him an email saying, hey, I've got this amp. Told him the story behind it. Said, about the rusty transformers. I don't know how many articles I've read about rusty transformers by the people at Mercury Magnetics in Vintage Guitar Magazine, where they say that a rusty transformer actually provides better tone than one that's not, or that's, it's actually operates better as a transformer than one that's not rusty. So my question is, why don't they have a rust line? You know, I mean, they're like the best in transformers, and but they don't, and they know that these rusty transformers are really cool. You know, why don't they go the route of, say, like, you know how Fender has their relict custom shop Tellys and Strats and all that sort of thing. They're very popular, very cool. Why not? I mean, nobody sees a transformer anyway, right? Who cares if it looks rusty? If it does a better job, you get better tone. If it does its job better, why not? So, and you might be able to charge a little premium for letting it sit out in the weather for like a year. Anyway, that's a little underhanded pitch to Mercury Magnetics. They've probably already thought about it, because I'm sure they're smarter people than I am. They probably have a better marketing mind than I do. But anyway, that's just something I thought about over the years, you know, whenever I've read their articles about rusty transformers. So when I was talking to Bobby, I mentioned that, hey, the transformers are both really, they're pretty rusty. And, but, you know, I'd heard that that's pretty, you know, not such a bad thing necessarily. And, so I was just kind of curious to find out what he would say, what he would come back with about the Rusty Transformers, because I'd heard mixed reviews about, audio engineers, guys, you know, who would, you know, techs who would wire things up, who would not be into anything rusty or old or, you know, like carbon comp, anything like that. That he would, they would want to just trash everything for all brand new mercury magnetics or whatever else, you know, something that's new. And it was really cool whenever I talked to Bobby about this amp, he said, the magnets, the transformers look fine. He looked them over. He's like, they look fine. I'm like, you could tell just by looking, you didn't hook anything up. He goes, yeah, I could tell by looking. They're fine. They're great. And, the rust didn't bother him at all. And, he looked in the circuitry of it, you know, and he was like, well, you know, he was in the mindset that, you know, modifying the current circuit would not be such a great idea, but he drew up two different schematics that on a piece of paper while I was in a guitar lesson, and said, "Hey, this one's one that I use on. It's like it's the Blues Deluxe or the Chicago Deluxe. I'm sorry, and of course it's based on the same circuit that most every amp, even modern amps, the fundamental circuitry is based on." 30s technology, especially if it's point-to-point hand-wired, like this one is, what his circuit is. And then he mentioned another circuit that, you know, that we could go with. And I said, well, I'd personally like just to go with your custom creation, his own creative mind for his, you know, based on, like I said, the 30s circuitry. And maybe like a, I think he said like a 5B3. It's like a very early incarnation of the Fender Tweed Deluxe. So, it's kind of like all these different things mixed together in what he thought was really ideal for the guitar tone for an amp. And so he calls it the Chicago Deluxe. And I'm sure if he were to take a bunch of different chassis like mine out of different organs and everything, you'd have slightly different tones because of the different transformers and such, but the circuitry would be the same. So I mean, there'd be some slight differences in each. Anyway, so we discussed, and I said, yeah, let's go with that Blues, I mean the Chicago Deluxe, and it you know, it would have a nice blues amp tone with a lot of growl, and that would all depend on what speaker you would run it through. So I said sure, and we agreed upon a price and everything. And so he took it back to his shop, gutted the chassis and painted the chassis, cleaned up the chassis, painted it this nice light blue, and actually cleaned up the transformers and painted them too. I'm sure there's still some rust underneath there, which is not a big deal. It doesn't matter to me. But I didn't have to buy new transformers, which is cool, you know, that's less money spent, right? And so then I get a call he's giving me some updates about, you know, his progress and everything. And then he calls me up and says, hey, the amp is done. You know, and I can bring it by the shop. And so we met up, and I ran this amp. It looks beautiful, and I'm really, really impressed with the tone and look and everything. It's really pretty cool, and it takes on many different characteristics, depending on which guitar you're playing, of course, and which speaker cabinet you're running it through. Now, the first thing we ran it through was a Marshall 1960A cabinet, and it had 75 watt Celestians in them, the modern Celestians, probably from the late 90s or this last decade. And And we'd run amps through that thing before and had great results. Thought it sounded awesome. I tell you honestly, this amp did not like the Marshall cabinet, which I was very surprised because it seems like everything likes a Marshall cabinet. I think it had something more to do with those speakers than the cabinet, of course. That I think it would have liked greenbacks much better. So anyway, he had another speaker cabinet sitting there in the shop that's just a 112, and he said it was some crappy old 112 speaker that he pulled out of an organ and threw it in a cabinet and put tweed on it, and it looks really cool. And so he ran it into that, and that old cabinet sounded awesome combined with that amp. It sounded great. I loved it. I was amazed. I was like, that's really cool. And was very tempted to buy that cabinet too, but I didn't. And that's probably my fault. Now I think it's already been sold. So, and he was asking a pretty reasonable price. So, yeah, I'm an idiot. Anyway, we ran it through that and I liked it a lot. And he said, hey, you mind if I do a video? I want to do a video, put it up on our website and so on and so forth. I said, no problem. So he took a video, and I was surprised at the audio quality he got from his camera, and he posted it on Facebook, and I'm going to repost that on Facebook. So if you go to the Guitar Podcast Facebook page, I'll have that video out there for you to check it out. I was just tooling around. My guitar playing's not great on this. I'm just kind of messing around and messing up a lot. Just trying to demo the tone of the amp and the different variations of the things you can get out of it. And that was running through that cheap little speaker. Well, I was so excited to have that amp. I took it to church with me that Sunday. Actually, it was the Saturday night service. And I was originally running through my Marshall JCM-800 into a Bogner 412 full of Greenback Celestians. And that sounded awesome. But I was really excited. I was like, let me try it through this. And I was like, it may sound good, it may sound bad, it may sound, I don't know. So I plugged it in to that Bogner cabinet, and wow, did it sound awesome. I thought it sounded really cool. It's different than my Marshall, it's different than my Gibson GA40. You know, like I've said before, each amp has its own characteristic, just like guitars do. And each, you know, they all have their own song, and it's, you know, good or bad. And, you know, bad isn't acceptable, but there are many different colors of good tone, in my opinion, and it depends on what style of music you're wanting to play. And so I thought it sounded really cool until we started playing a Beatles tune to open up the set, and I was like, this amp is not wanting to clean up at all through this Bogner, and it didn't want to clean up. It just wanted to... It wanted to bark and scream. It was fighting its way out, and I was just amazed. Luckily the second and third songs we played were they had a little more. You could be more aggressive, and it could really shine. So it's one of those things. That's gonna. I thought a Greenback speaker cabinet would be really good for this amp, and I think it will if it's like one Greenback. But I think four might have been a bit much for it. So, I don't know. I'm just going to have to experiment. I was thinking about a 212 cabinet for this amp. You know, I have a 212 amp and I have a 112 amp. And I'm really kind of torn right now on which way I want to go with it. I'm not sure that it's going to matter all that much. It's going to be a sealed cabinet. I want it sealed. I don't want an open back. I've got two open backs, so I guess it comes down to, is it going to be a 112 or a 212 cabinet, and is it going to be, what kind of speaker is going to be in there, and I'm leaning heavily, actually, towards a 112 sealed cabinet with a Greenback in it, so that's where I am with that. It's really kind of I just wanted to kind of bring a lot of you guys up to date that have, you know, remember me talking about this rusty amp chassis sitting in my father-in-law's barn, and tell you where it is now. So basically, it's an open chassis, open bottom chassis. So I don't have, it's not boxed in. I don't have it encased, but I do have the wood and have the plans and everything drawn up. I just need to cut it and start building it. And so I'm excited about that. I want to get that done. That may actually wind up being a winter project and not a summer, spring, not a summer or fall project. But that's the next steps with this amp is to get it boxed in, you know. I'm gonna probably stain it a nice dark cherry red, and then I'm gonna build a speaker cabinet or buy an empty cabinet and put a speaker in it. That's where it is right now, and I'll keep you up to date on it in a future episode. If you would like, you know, I've started having some more interview podcasts. I want to know if you would like to hear me, if you'd like an interview with Bobby. I will warn you that whenever I talk to him, I mean, and I know I'm not a complete idiot, but when I talk to him and we start talking about amps and circuits and stuff, I start feeling like a knuckle dragger really quick, like a monkey or a Neanderthal or some, you know, just a complete buffoon. And because the guy is just that smart. I mean, just I can't imagine being that bright. Anyway, he's a real nice guy. And if you want, let me know. Give me a holler either on the show notes or just email me directly at info@theguitarpodcast.net and tell me, hey, yeah, I'd love to hear an interview with Bobby about, you know, building amps and that sort of thing, working on amps, all that good stuff. I'd love to interview him. All I need is just a little push over the edge to say, hey, Bobby, you want to do an interview for my podcast? And just let me know. I'd be glad to do it. One other thing about the build was that, you know, I had a bunch of vintage parts for the resistors and so on, and I mentioned him testing those and using those in the initial build, and he goes, well, I could check him out and everything, but when he came back, most everything was was new parts. And so, you know, I was slightly disappointed, but then whenever he explained to me, he said on a new build, using new parts to be sure. You see, if he uses old parts and he's not sure if something's not working right, he's not sure if he's messed up in his circuitry and his soldering or if a part is bad. So the first step would be to wire it up with new parts, be sure everything's cool, and then start inserting resistors and such that are old stock, that, you know, that test right, and then, you know, insert those with the same values and see how things go from there. You know, swapping parts out from there instead of starting that way. And that totally made sense to me, especially as a web designer, whenever you're wanting to, you know, you need to test. You don't want to have all the bells and whistles on the first build of the page, because if things start breaking, it's like, what is it? Is it, you know, is it this fancy thing that I put in there? Is it something very basic in the code? So, anyway, again, let me know if you want to hear Bobby talk about repairing amps and working on amps and all sorts of things. He's actually a tube connoisseur too. I mean, it's pretty amazing. He's really cool. So that is where we are with the Thomas Organ amp / Chicago Deluxe Getchell amp. So I hope you dug this episode. Hope you liked it. And again, chime in with comments on the show notes page, and like us on Facebook. Email me with comments and questions and such at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Also, if you want, sign up for email alerts whenever a new video or a new episode comes out. I'd like to notify you about that. whenever those come along, if you want notified, sign up for that. Thanks again for listening. This is Lauren Hunt signing off with Guitar Podcast.